But nobody believed the women. They all just assumed that it was an idle tale. Now that afternoon, these two were making the 7-mile trek to the town of Emmaus, and they were probably walking just a little slower than usual because a stranger caught up with them and walked with them, and they didn't recognize him. But Luke reveals to us up front that it was Jesus so that we could see how the surprise unfolds. The stranger somehow seemed to know their hearts. Somehow he sensed that their hearts were breaking, and so he slowed down to walk with them. Doesn't it seem strange to you that they didn't recognize Jesus? They'd spent years with him. They were just talking about him. And now here he was walking on the road with them, but they didn't recognize him. Were their hearts so broken that their tears clouded their eyes? Was it sorrow and disappointment? Or was it fear and a little bit of uncertainty about their future? More than that, St. Luke says they were kept from recognizing him. And that seems even weirder until you remember that in all of the post-Easter accounts, no one recognized Jesus until he revealed himself to them, until he called Mary by name, until he broke the bread, until there was that great drought of fishes and a stranger invited them to come and have breakfast with them. It didn't happen until Jesus opened their eyes. Now it seems that the problem that these two were having stemmed from not recognizing Jesus, but also not recognizing the will of God. They didn't understand that Jesus had to suffer and die. Now, in that moment, Jesus could have revealed himself to them instantly, but here was an opportunity to build their faith on a much more solid foundation, an opportunity to really set their hearts on fire. So the stranger asked them what they were talking about, and they just couldn't imagine that there was anyone in Jerusalem that weekend who didn't know what had happened. But Jesus wanted to open their hearts that they might recognize what really had happened in Jerusalem that weekend. And so he asked them more about it so that they would tell their story. And right in the middle of the story, we come to see the real problem. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. They had hoped, but not anymore. This is maybe one of the saddest passages in all of Scripture. Their hope in Jesus was gone because Jesus had died, and that's why their hearts were broken. They were caught up in all of their regrets. If only Jesus would have fled from Jerusalem when he first learned about the plots against him. If only they would have all drawn their swords when Peter pulled his, they might have defended Jesus. If only Pontius Pilate would have had the guts to stand up to that lynch mob. And if only those women hadn't gone out to the tomb early the morning and come back with that report that the grave was empty. Do you ever find yourself caught up in your regrets, crying out, if only? If only I would have worked a little bit harder the last 6 weeks, the next 3 weeks wouldn't be nearly as hard as I expect them to be. If only I had paid just a little bit more attention, my grades might have been just a little better. If only I would have kept my mouth shut, I wouldn't be in all the trouble I'm in right now. If only I had known then what I know now. All of these regrets, all of these if onlys lead to broken hearts, and they keep us from recognizing Jesus. They're all tied into a false notion that Jesus is absolutely helpless in the midst of all of our stupidity and foolishness, or that somehow Jesus is unwilling to help us when we make mistakes, when we fall into sin. These two began their journey with broken hearts and couldn't recognize Jesus, but the stranger didn't want to remain a stranger. Here again, his gentle rebuke, the compassionate way that he reached out to draw them in. How foolish you are, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Didn't the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into glory? Jesus identified the real problem. They were brokenhearted because they were slow of heart to believe, because they didn't know the Scriptures. Throughout the Old Testament, God had revealed to his people that he was going to send his Son into the world to die on a cross to redeem sinful mankind. And in Luke's theology, it was all necessary for our salvation. Jesus had to suffer. He had to die. He had to rise again. If only they had known the Scriptures. If only they had paid more attention to Jesus, they could have spared themselves all that heartache. And so Jesus started with the book of Moses. And during that two-hour walk, he went through all of the Old Testament. He wanted to help them understand the will of God, to help them see the plan of salvation. He wanted to allow them to really recognize him there. And wouldn't you have loved to have been on that road with Jesus during that Bible class? Now, as they approached Emmaus, Cleopas and his buddies still didn't recognize him. But now his word was working. Their hearts were burning within them. They were beginning to understand God's will, but they still needed more of these convincing proofs. And so they invited the stranger to stay with them. And he accepted their invitation. He sat down at the table, and he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And in that familiar action, in the breaking of bread, their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus. In Luke's account, they were the very first ones to recognize Jesus. And just that quickly, he vanished. And I suspect they were absolutely stunned. And what do you do in a moment like that? What do you do when you've seen the risen Savior? How can you keep that kind of good news to yourself? Luke says they arose at that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. I suspect they got up and they ran to Jerusalem. 7 miles, a little more than a 10K. Now their hearts were pounding, and they were breathless. They were eager to tell the others how Jesus had opened their hearts, how he had made himself known on the road and in the breaking of the bread. And now these two were convinced Jesus had risen. And their hearts were filled with joy, with Easter joy. So, brothers and sisters, how is it today with your heart? Is your heart broken? Is it filled with regrets and disappointments? Or is there a little bit of fear and uncertainty on this call day? Does Jesus seem to be a stranger to you? Is your heart slow to believe that Jesus died for you and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures? Do you still need some convincing proofs? The stranger on the road doesn't want to remain a stranger. He comes today to make himself known to you in his word and in the breaking of bread. His holy supper is here for you, and these are the convincing proofs. The convincing proofs that set your hearts on fire, that will fill your heart with Easter joy. What a powerful word this is for this campus community on this call day, for the church needs, and the world around us today desperately needs. Vicars and deaconess interns and deaconesses and pastors who have walked the road with Jesus, who have studied the scriptures, whose hearts are burning within them. Disciples who have broken bread with Jesus and recognize him in his body and blood given and shed for them. Witnesses who have seen the risen Savior and whose hearts are filled with hope, whose hearts are pounding, zealous to tell their amazing story, eager to proclaim good news to brothers and sisters and a world in darkness. The church and the world needs us, whose hearts are filled with Easter joy. On this call day, we need to remember that that's what this campus community, this seminary is really all about. It's about changing hearts. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.